Hello, everyone, and welcome to Between the Sessions. We are coming to you from the beautiful Palm Beaches, Florida, one of my favorite places in the world. I say it every episode. Between the Sessions is a podcast for meetings industry professionals. It is presented by the Palm Beaches, and I'm your host, Suzanne Boyd.
I'm your co-host, Jamie Hart. Our mission is to inspire those in the business events industry with new and innovative ideas and discuss important developments impacting the meetings industry in the U.S. and globally.
Ooh, I am so excited for our guest today. I've actually known her for a very, very long time. Love her dearly because we share a love of Delray Beach. She is Amanda Perna. She is the CEO and founder of the House of Perna, a fashion brand. She's also appeared on 2 seasons of Project Runway. And we just learned she was on Flea Market Flip and actually won Flea Market Flip. Amanda Perna, everyone. Who knew? Flea Market Flip.
Oh, it was so much fun.
Yeah.
I have to say, Suzanne was one of the first people I met when I moved here to the Palm Beaches.
Oh.
Yeah. And I like instantly loved you and your energy and your passion for the area. And I think it infected me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we had you on the news a couple of times,
yeah,
didn't we? Yeah.
When I first moved here.
So tell me a little bit about what inspired you to start your business, House of Perna.
I come from a fashion background. I worked in New York for Calvin Klein and Oscar de la Renta. And I love fashion. I love how you feel when you put on that special piece. And for me, I always dressed really bold and colorfully and worked at a company that was black, gray, and beige. So I learned a ton, but I really wanted my viewpoint in the world. And I knew when I put on hot pink, I felt powerful and happy. And I wanted to help spread that joy with everyone else.
I love that. So this is a podcast, obviously, but Amanda is constantly in bright colors right
now. She's in all the colors today.
So, you know, your business, House of Perna, your collections, they're all really a reflection of you and your personality. So how have you stayed authentic to that when building your brand, building your style, and just life in general for you?
Well, I think especially as a creator, sometimes you get lost in the noise. When you go from just doing something for fun to making it a business that has to profit and you have people relying on you, it is hard sometimes to stay true to that vision and not get swayed to what other brands and other companies are doing. But I really feel like your uniqueness is your superpower, and being able to give people something they haven't seen and they don't own is something really special. So we talk about a lot in my business, what do we want to see in the world? How can we provide you with something exciting and that's going to bring you joy today? So having that as like our guiding light of creating joy and inspiring, especially women, to feel beautiful and feel powerful has been really my mission. It's my mission as a human, and it's translated through what we do with our products.
You know, you are one of the busiest women I know.
You are too busy.
And you're always saying yes to everything, right? And so I think, especially in the meetings industry, one of the things that you really have to be good at is building a good team, a solid team. So what's been the process for you of finding the right team?
This is by far the hardest part of my job. I think everything else is relatively easy. Building your team is the most important thing and the hardest thing. I think you're letting people be part of your mission, part of your journey, and letting them into your home, really. And for me, letting them into my mind, because everything that we're creating is coming out of my head into the world. For us, it's been trial and error. I've had a lot of people that are no longer with me, and I tend to be an overly understanding human as my nature. But I also have to think about the betterment of my company. And it's hard to let people go. I recently had the worst hire I ever had in my entire career, like frighteningly so, and had to let this person go. And I let her stay a little longer than I probably should have because I saw what maybe she could be. But you have to take that step back and say, okay, is this helping or hurting my company? And it was hurting my other team members. So she had to go. But I think it's also when you find these beautiful gems, like I have one person who's been on my team for 8 years, and it's about showing them that you care about them and they're important and they matter. Because at the end of the day, I couldn't do my job if I didn't have all of these fantastic people supporting me. And I think some business owners get caught in the, oh, well, I'm the owner and I'm the important one. No, you're actually the least important one in the room, because if these people all leave you, you've got nothing.
Yeah. I mean, my latest job, I took a pay cut but it is the best job I've ever had. And because our boss always makes us feel special and like we're doing, you know, a really great job, and she does the little things for us, you know? So I think that does make a huge difference in building your team and keeping them happy.
Yeah. I mean, and we started talking about, you know, how you stay authentic building your business, but how do you encourage that with your team? You know, they're working for your company. It's a reflection of you and your style, but how do you encourage that authenticness or genuineness through your team as well?
I think it's about celebrating them and celebrating their strengths. I know sometimes people, like, we all have to jump in and do weird things from time to time that are like outside of your,
like, what, Amanda?
Yeah. I mean, we'll, one day we're doing tassels, the next day we're filming this and doing that. And I run around all over South Florida doing different events. And like, maybe your job is a technical designer, but today you're helping us like pack bags to get shipped to one of our clients. But, you know, it's about making sure that everybody is doing something that they're proud of and they can take ownership of too. And also, like, I have one girl who's on my team, and she's been on my team for 6 years. Her dream was to start her own boutique. And when she was telling me, she was so scared because she loved working with me, but this was her dream and she thought I was going to let her go. And I said, no, as long as you're able to do what I need you to do, I don't really care what you do. And now she's building her beautiful boutique, and she's able to do my stuff freelance on the side. And we found a way to make it work because I appreciate her and her dedication to me. So I didn't think it was right to be like, okay, now you're out because, like, you're not doing what I want all the time, because I do value her and what she brings to the table.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Project Runway, I mean, you know, it's a reality show. It's one of the reasons you have such a popular name, or at least in the beginning. But that was years ago.
Years.
You were young when you were on that show, like really young, right? How old were you?
I can't remember the years because they've all just become like pre-COVID, post-COVID in my brain anymore. But yeah, I was in my 20s.
In
the last
20s.
Time that I did it, I want to say I must have been like 28. And it feels like a lifetime ago. And it's really funny because you have two different groups of people. You have the ones who like only care about the fact that I did Project Runway, and then the ones who don't even realize that that's what I did. The second one's my favorite. but it is. I mean, it's quite an accomplishment, and I'm very proud that I was able to do it. But I feel like you can't let that be the only thing you do in your life, guys. It's like if you played football in high school and now you're 54, surely you did something in between there, right?
Well, you've done a lot in between. But what are some of the lessons that you learned from competing on Project Runway? And how have you applied those to now to your business and to life?
The biggest one is to ignore the internet trolls.
That's
no
good
matter
advice.
What you do, there's going to be someone who loves you and someone who hates you. And we've made it our mission to, we're kind to everyone. That's my rule with my team. Even if they don't like us, we're still going to be kind. But to focus on the people who are our customer, who are the ones that get us and are excited about what we're doing. Now, if she tells me we're doing something wrong, we did something wrong. But if it's someone who's not even going to come and engage with us on a normal day, not that I don't care, but I care less. I think that was number one. And I think number two is not to believe everything you see on TV, especially in a reality show. I mean, we film for 48 hours an episode and you're seeing an hour. So what happens is, you know, there's some editing maybe involved. And I think a lot of people who have been on reality TV, they let it collapse them. I refuse to let anything bring me down. Try as hard as you want, but I'm going to keep on coming back. And I think that was a lesson as a business owner that I was able to take is, yeah, you're going to face adversity in a business, but how do you push through this and make it a positive outcome on the other side?
Yeah. And we've talked about this a few times on the podcast, is finding your audience, you know, knowing that there's an audience out there that's looking for what you're doing or the event you're producing or the content that you're giving them. And so to hear you say that, it's a lesson that I think you can take into any industry and any business situation. But you've also diversified how you connect with your customers and how people find you. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, part of it is I'm easily bored. So I'm always, as soon as I feel like I have something under control, I add something into a curveball to stress everyone else around me out. But I think it really is about finding where your customers are. So, okay, like you build your social strategy and you're like, okay, I have this nice following and they're engaged with me and it's nice. Okay, but how do we find more people that maybe aren't finding us on social? For me, it looks like doing events, or whether it's a pop-up or a workshop where you get to come into my world and learn from me. So I try to find different touch points, and we see what works and what doesn't work, and we're not always right. But I think it's really about pushing yourself to try something new and a new way of connecting offline also. Online is huge and great and amazing, and you have a big reach, but I think there's something to be said about this person-to-person connection that you can only get in real life.
Yeah, and I think what's also really interesting, and that kind of takes me to discussing the pandemic and during COVID, and you pivoting. So you pivot quickly. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen you pivot so many times, and maybe talk a little bit about what you did during COVID that was really cool and really was, but still true to yourself.
Yeah. So I was actually in LA. We were going to have our best year ever in my business. I was at a trade show and a influencer meetup and a conference, and we had all these meetings, and guys, like, I mean, we were poised for numbers I couldn't imagine. And then while we're there, the world shut down. We were literally on the last flight out of LA back here. And immediately all of our orders started being canceled, like immediately. And here we were with hundreds of yards of fabric because we thought we were developing dresses and shipping dresses. And for a second, I'm not going to lie, I sat there in a panic and was like, oh my gosh, everything that I built. Like, I started my business with my tiny little 401k I had in my 20s. And everything I had was in this business. And I was like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? And I'm not going to lie, I felt sorry for myself for a hot second, as we do. And then I'm watching the news and I see a nurse crying on TV. And she was like, we don't have face masks, we're trying to sew them. And I was like, oh my gosh, I need to help this woman. And I look at my husband, who is always involved in my shenanigans, and I'm like, I'm going to cut up all of our fabric and make face masks. And he was like, wait, what? And I was like, no one's buying clothes anyway, so we already have it. So I was like, I'm going to do this. So I talked to friends who were surgeons and a textile scientist friend, because there was no CDC guidelines at the time on how to make a mask. And I did my research, and then I perfected my pattern. I gave away my pattern. I started making videos on Instagram of how you can use the pattern. And a friend of mine at Good Housekeeping saw my videos and was like, hey, could you produce like a real one for us that we could use? So it was on all of Hearst publications. And we gave away a lot of masks, and then the public needed them at this point. So we were like, okay, how can we help people? How can I keep my team working? I wound up hiring like every sewing room in Miami, and because all of them lost their work. And I was like, okay, well, what if we do a buy one, donate one? So if you buy one with us, we'll donate one. And they were all colorful and happy and fun. And Suzanne came and interviewed me at that time too on another project she was doing. And we were able to keep our business afloat. I mean, listen, like the numbers, our margins, we made pretty much nothing. But my mission was not about making money. It was, how do I keep people safe? Especially the people who are out there every day trying to help us. So we did. We did that for a year and a half, which is crazy. And the craziest thing, guys, you know, you think of fashion and we're usually like this fluffy industry, right? I had like special permission from the city commission to be an essential worker so we could actually be like driving around and doing things when there were the curfews. And I was like, this is so bizarre. And I would drive to Miami with no one on the highway, road. Just us. I would get there in like 20 minutes. It was so crazy and so surreal. But yeah, it was, how do I keep my team in their jobs? How do I keep people from losing their homes and their lives? And I did. I jumped in quick. And then other people started doing it and made a lot more money on it than I did. But that wasn't, once again, my mission. You know, I was like, the money will come back. Like, I have faith, we'll figure it out. But right now, my job is just to help.
What is the favorite part of what you do? What's your favorite part?
My favorite part, oh, there's so many. But it's the moment where somebody puts on something that I've made and you see them light up. You know, I get to be part of people's weddings and part of people's birthdays and monumental events vicariously through what I make. And I think it's, it makes me teary-eyed every time I talk about it, because I get to be part of this moment for you. And it's like this crazy thing I think in my head, and it comes to life. And it's part of your world too, which is a really cool feeling.
And so for some of our audience out there, they may have seen you at some of the events you've been at, but Amanda hosted a fashion show at Business Events Week in March of this year. And so what was that like? Can you tell us a little bit about that experience and sort of what you've seen about the industry or some of your favorite moments from those types of events?
Well, I keep teasing your team that I'm quitting my job and coming to work with you because hospitality people are the nicest people. And as one of them so kindly said to me, well, literally, that is our job to be nice. To be nice. And I was like, oh, this makes sense because fashion people aren't always the nicest. And everyone's smiling and happy and you throw epic parties. But yeah, it was just amazing to connect with people in a new way and give them an event where they got to get outside of their comfort zone. Like we had actual attendees as our models, and to have like people that are quote unquote real people, not professional models, walking a runway and owning it. And we had so much fun picking out the pieces, and they were all so nervous at first, and every one of them killed it. I mean, it was the energy of the crowd. It was so phenomenal. And it's just been such a joy to really get outside of my norm and be able to connect with people in a new, fresh way and have fun.
You know, I work for the Delray Beach Downtown Development Authority, which is one of the partner agencies for Discover the Palm Beaches. And when we host meeting planners, we're always giving away, you know, swag and stuff that promotes Delray Beach. And Amanda, her studio is in Delray Beach. So we give away the Amanda Perna bags that say Delray Beach across them. Everyone loves them, but it really is a cool way to think about swag and using some of these, you know, locals that produce these beautiful products, to really promote your, you know, your conference, your business, the area that you're in. And so, people love those bags.
And we're so grateful to have you as a partner. Cause I think for a lot of us that are small business owners, you know, you do your day-to-day thing, but it's how do you get people to find you sometimes? Mm-hmm. Like, even if you are, like, we ship internationally, but not a lot of people know us. So to have the support of organizations like both of yours is huge for us. And to be able to say, oh, yeah, like, you know, this is something we got to do for you. And then they connect with us in a unique way that they may not have found us if they're here for a meeting for a hot second. You know, sometimes they don't veer off the beaten path. So it really is a nice way for us to get to connect with people also.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much local talent mm-hmm. all over the country, all over the world. We'll plug the Palm Beaches, especially here. Yeah. But it is such a unique way for attendees or visitors to engage with the community and really do that travel like a local thing and be able to see what is going on in the community. And I think it's such a special thing about travel, no matter what kind of travel it is, that you can do that.
And as a person who goes to a lot of events, I want something unique and different. You know, you get the same koozie and keychain. It's cute. It's nice. But like, how many of us are actually really using that? But when you get a bag or something that's really unique and it's like a souvenir or truly of your stay in a place, like it sticks with you and you want to keep that as a memento of where you were.
Yeah, absolutely. And Suzanne did mention, so your studio is here in the Palm Beaches in Delray Beach. So why Delray? When people think of fashion, they think New York, LA. Why here? Why the Palm Beaches?
A lot of reasons. I mean, I worked in New York and I loved it. And I have to go back on a regular basis to recharge that energy. But I really wanted to be able to enjoy life a little more. What I loved about Delray in particular is any kind of restaurant you want, pretty much, we have it. I can walk from my studio to the Ave, to my store in Pineapple Grove, to the beach. I can sketch on the beach. You can't get that other places. And what I love about Delray is this sense of community that we have here. And we have the support of agencies like the Palm Beaches and the DDA and the CRA. And all of these people care about us as a small business. And I think that's a really unique, special gift that you don't find in these big cities or even other small towns, frankly. But we have that so strongly here in the Palm Beaches. And it's really allowed me to be part of the community and get outside of my office and really make a difference. And I think that for me has been worth its weight in gold.
So you've been to some of these meetings and conferences through Discover the Palm Beaches, and I'm sure through your industry as well. Talk to me a little bit about, because the name of this podcast is Between the Sessions, what has been your favorite Between the Sessions memory or activity or something that you've done that really sticks out?
Well, one thing that we had so much fun when we were in Ohio for PCMA, and the booth that the Palm Beach has put together was so fun. And we got to give away bracelets and sketches, and I got to really engage with people in that way on the business side. But then once I was done, I got to wander around a bit. And I mean, all of the activations that every single destination put together was so cool. There was bourbon tasting at one, and everyone had that flair of their place. And it was, and the pride that every single team felt was like crazy. And then they had this big party. I don't even know how you would describe it, with like a million different performers and these big, like, extravagant things of food. I mean, I had never seen anything like this, and I've seen a lot of things in my life. And it was just so much fun just to see how everybody took that little bit of time and how they wanted to make it special for everybody else.
Yeah. And I think that's what's really important is, you know, is in this industry, finding that thing that makes you special, or finding that thing that is special within that community where you're going to be, and really highlighting that and showing that, you know, like Amanda Perna.
Thanks, Suzanne.
Yeah, and you talked about your store, but you do have, she has a storefront as well, a store that she started with Sky Dyer. That's it's a children's store, but they also have
women's clothing and gifts. Yeah. And we always say it's our test kitchen for my collection also. We stick it in there and see what people respond to and are excited by. But it's a whole new way for me to get to connect with the community. I have my business partner there. I've never had a business partner, and it's been amazing to have somebody else in it with me. And having a brick and mortar store, I mean, we have our studio that you can come by appointment, but having a place where people can come whenever they want and just have fun and to see people light up is just so magical. Like, there's nothing better than that in the whole entire world.
And, you know, in addition to the store, you've also been doing a lot of speaking engagements at conferences, not just with us, and then also pop-up shops and jewelry making classes and kind of small group activities like that. So how does that all come about, and how does that help you sort of stay creative and stay authentic to your business while still exploring new avenues and ways to connect with people?
Like I said, I'm easily bored. So I have to do a lot of different things to keep my brain moving. I love being able to help people learn. And so people are like, why are you teaching these workshops? For me, it's one thing for you to get to come and buy a tassel from me, but there's two reasons behind me teaching you a tassel. One, you might love making tassels and you found a new skill for yourself. But two, you see what goes into every single piece that we make. So when you see an earring is $88 and you're like, whoa, that's a lot for an earring. But when you have to sit there and it takes you 2 hours to make one, you understand. And I think for us, a big component of what we do is educating the consumer. You know, we're not fast fashion. We are making everything ethically, and it's slow fashion. And we have so many things in place to keep the world a little bit healthier and us not kill it, because fashion, you know, tends to be not the most eco-friendly industry. And so for me, getting to have these face-to-face connections with clients or potential clients, they get to understand who we are as a business a little bit more. They get to meet me. So instead of you talking to one of my incredible sales team, you get to interact with me. And I think a lot of times it creates a bond between a customer that you wouldn't get if you just came upon us at Anthropologie or one of the stockists we're at. You really get to see who we are and see that there's people, and it's not just about product on a shelf.
So, you know, swag stuff we all get, right? But for between the sessions, we have a little bit of a different take on swag. So we want to know what your swag is. So swag is basically any advice that you want to share, like one specific tip that you think is important to mention, that maybe a rule that you live by.
This one's pretty easy for me. It is really about being authentic. I think you can try to do what someone else is doing. You could try to be someone else. They're already doing it and they're going to do a better job. It's about finding what is special about you and chasing that. Because I think when you are authentically you is really when the magic happens. It's when people can connect with you. And as I've said in a lot of my talks that I've been given, people are going to judge you either way. Let them judge the real you, because then you have the opportunity to impress them. If you're pretending to be someone else, they can't even make a decision about how they feel. So give them the opportunity. And you're amazing. No matter who you are, there's something incredible and amazing and special, and the world deserves to see it.
Awesome.
So one of my favorite stories that you've told is the question you ask all of your team members before you hire them. Can you tell us about that, the crayon story?
Okay. So, and I mentioned this offhandedly to yeah. them when we were talking the first time, and they like really ran with it, which I thought was so cool. So, you know, we ask the usual questions like, where do you see yourself in 5 years, blah, blah, you know, all the standard ones. And then I always ask everyone, if you were a crayon, what color would you be and why? And people are like, what? And I do it for two reasons. And I know a lot of times everybody's like, oh my gosh, you're so out there. But there's always a method behind my madness. You may not realize it, but there is. So number one, I get to see like how you think on your toes because you're asked a question you are not prepared for. You can prepare for literally everything. You're not preparing yourself unless they've heard me talk, in which case they're all prepared. But, you know, so I get to see how you think on your toes. I mean, we're a very fast paced business. Like we're working on four collections at a time at different stages of the process. So I need to know that you can handle it when we throw it at you. But also I want to see if you recognize who you are as a person and you actually are self-aware. A lot of people are not self-aware and it can be frightening. So actually, Suzanne, I've never asked you this question. Ooh. What crayon color would you be in?
Fire engine red, baby.
Yes, I see it. And
I
why?
Mean, you said that and I was like, oh, I'd be red.
And why would you say red?
I just love that color, you know, and I feel like that kind of, it describes me.
I agree 100% because I've known you for a while. Yeah. But yeah, and you know, each one of us have a different reason. So like mine is hot pink and my favorite color is actually orange. Everyone thinks it's pink because I wear pink a lot, but no, I would be hot pink though. And for me, it's a fun, vibrant, powerful color that can go and get mixed with anything else. But if you said pink, you probably would have a different reason. Which, Jamie, what was yours?
What is your color?
You know, I'm torn, but this is not usual. I'm
gut instinct. Gut instinct.
My gut instinct is usually pink.
Okay, and why?
But a lighter shade, like a rose gold pink.
Oh, yeah. You remind me of a rose mm-hmm. gold. Yes, yeah, 100%.
It's a little more subtle. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. so out there, fun, yeah. but like. Yeah.
But not so shocking.
I like to observe.
Yes.
Before I engage.
Yes.
See, and it is a question that like everyone has it, knows or can figure out. Mm-hmm. What color? And if they can't, run, guys, because they really don't know who they are. And it's really frightening. But yeah, it's just, and it's a fun icebreaker because it's something that like people, because you know, in an interview, you're nervous and you're like, yeah. Oh my gosh, am I going to get the job? And so it shakes it up a little bit.
Yeah. And I mean, there's something to like, you don't get a box of crayons or box markers that are all one color. So
no.
I mean, it works.
It would be yeah. boring. Like yeah. we say all the time in my team, it takes all of the colors to make a rainbow. So if there's just a bunch of hot pink people in a room, it's probably not going to work out so well. We need all the other colors to balance and make it more fun and vibrant.
Has yeah. anyone ever said like black or white?
Yeah, actually, when we were in Ohio, a woman came up to me because that was what we asked them. In order for them to get my illustration and autograph, they had to tell us their favorite color. Like that was our rule. And this one lady's like, oh, I can't tell you. And I'm like, what? And she's like, it's black. And I was like, black is an amazing color. You need black and white. Without black and white, there's no balance. That's how you create the light pink. And she was like, oh, okay. She was like, I was very scared.
She was terrified.
She was like, I was trying to come up with anything else to tell you because I just didn't want to tell you the truth. But it is. And I think that, but it is why? The why. Mm-hmm. You know, what is the why?
Yeah, the why is important. Mm-hmm. The why is always important. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Amanda Perna, amazing as always. Tell us how people can get in touch with you if they want to get in touch with you. Do you want them to get in touch with
yes,
you?
Yes, yes, always. So my brands are The House of Perna and A Little Wild, WYLD. And it's the website with those names and same on Instagram. And then if you want to get in touch with me, you can find me on social at The Amanda Perna and my website, amandaperna.com.
All right, Amanda Perna, the House of Perna, thank you so much for joining us today. Between the Sessions is part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. We thank you all for tuning in and make sure to check out The Palm Beaches on LinkedIn. You can also head to thepalmbeaches.com/meetings for more information. And of course, when you do go check us out on your favorite podcast platform, make sure to subscribe and leave a review. Thank you. And this has been Between the Sessions.